Most of these scriptures are going to be familiar, I think, to all of you. And I'm not going to question why the Lord put this on my heart, but I had something else I'd worked on for probably almost 2 weeks, and it just wasn't right. So Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And 1:18. I'll try to give you time to turn the pages. I got mine marked because I'm a knucklehead. So. I like that. "Come now, let us reason together." I love that, that God wants to reason with us. Even in our sinful condition, he said, "Come, reason." And that word reason in Strong's is number 3198. And it means to be right, that is correct, justify or convict, to argue, chasten, convince, to decide, dispute. I like this one, days man. Judge, maintain, plead, reason together. Well, I wonder who it is that wants to argue or convince. I used to be that way, and still sometimes I'm always trying to convince the Lord, you know, well, shouldn't it be this way? Arguing with him. But what is he? He's the days man. And I like that, how that's in the middle of all these other words. And, you know, the days man is a mediator. I looked this up in a real old Webster's dictionary, and it even had some scriptural, well, a couple of scriptures with it. But, so a mediator is one that goes between. You have a problem with your insurance company, you go to an arbitrator or a mediator, someone that tries to bring you to an agreement. So you have someone there in between, pleading for you. And in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "For there is one God and mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Since this is a Bible study, I looked up a few more of these words, and the words scarlet, red, and crimson speak of a red dye made from insects. And the crimson especially speaks of a maggot that was used to dye cloth red. And I was thinking of that. And in Psalms 22:6, it says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." And I thought of that maggot and the crushing and the red, and how Jesus, as he writhed on the cross and bled, and he was a worm for us. And that word worm in Psalms 22:6 is the same word used in Isaiah 1:18 for crimson. So I thought that was pretty cool. And believe it or not, this verse isn't the focus of our study. So our study isn't going to be on Psalms 1:18. But if we would turn to Genesis 4, 3 through 7, and this is really kind of what got me into this study. I was thinking of how shall we do, and you'll see what brought me to that here in a minute. Genesis 4, verse 3, "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? I like that, the way he was a mediator. He was reasoning with Cain. He came in, he wanted to show him the way. In verse 7 it says, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so God did reason with Cain. Why? Because he would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And he tells him, if thou doest well, you'll be accepted. But who doest well? Who has never sinned? Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I think of people sometimes, I was seeking the Lord for 20 years before I got saved. Well, there's an old country song that I listened to way, way back. And David Allen Cohen, he used to sing, Trying Like the Devil to Find the Lord, and I think that's how most of us were. We weren't really looking for the Lord, but he was seeking for us. And it says that. It says, there is none that seeketh after God. So that's our answer to how shall we do. If thou doest well, which we can't, you'll be accepted. And I like this, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And when I first came in the meeting, that kind of was weird to me. Sin lieth at the door. What does that mean? And this word sin in the Hebrew is the same word for sin offering. And that's in Strong's, is number 2403. And it means an offense and its penalty, occasion, sacrifice, or expiation. I had to look that up. That means atonement. The act of making satisfaction for an offense by which the guilt is done away. An offender, punishment of sin, and purification for sin. Or sin offering. And the Lord just showed me, and it was a while back, because I was thinking about this and trying to figure out what that meant, sin lieth at the door. And it brings to mind 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's what that means, that sin lieth at the door. He was made sin for us. And the sin offering was right there at that door. Crouching, that means it was laid down on all four legs. Not like crouching like you'd think of a tiger, you know, ready to spring. You know, Cain didn't have to chase that lamb. He didn't have to go out and do anything like he had to go out and till the ground for that pumpkin that Brother Hill used to talk about. He didn't have to go looking for it. He only had to lay his hand on it by faith and identify with that lamb. And I was thinking about this, I wonder how many times Cain stepped over that lamb or maybe even kicked it out of the way. And I thought of how many times that somebody witnessed to me before I got saved, and I'd kind of push it away. And one day, and thank God, I was in a little hippie commune down in Colorado Springs. It was a Jesus freak commune, and I got saved that night. This girl told me how to get saved, and I got saved. Now, I later found out it was a cult, and I won't go into that here, but I just thought about 20 years later I found that out. But I thought that was where I got saved. The grace of God saved me in a place like that. And I would have stayed down there, except for I was on probation, and they didn't want anything to do with me having the law looking after me. And the only thing I could think, because I didn't know too much at that time, but I had some Catholic upbringing, but the only thing I could think was Jesus didn't turn anybody away. But I am thankful I did get saved. I know it. That was probably the last full night's sleep I got. But you know, old Cain, he didn't see the fact of Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay, well, we'll go on here. Genesis 22, 6 through 8. Well, these little tab things really help me. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he put that on my heart. And we all know the story of Abraham, and God told Abraham to go offer his son, his only son Isaac. And so Abraham obeyed God. He said he knew that God would raise him up. But I want to read here. It says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide himself a lamb. The marvel of God's reason. And I like what Sister Bodie said about this. God will provide the lamb, but he will provide himself the lamb, himself being the person of Jesus Christ. And how could we argue against that reasoning? That he provided that lamb. He himself was the lamb. And we'll go on in verses 13 and 14. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And I thought of that ram caught in the thicket by his horns. The horns speak of power. And I thought of the crown of thorns that he wore on his brow. And he was caught by his power. Only Jesus had the power to die for us. And when you think about it, he was caught in the will of his Father. All that power had to go with the will of his Father. And in Luke 22:42, it says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I did forget, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see to it. That means Jehovah will provide, or the Lord will provide. But I thought when I looked that up in the Strong's, I was sure it was going to say, the Lord will provide, but it says Jehovah will see to it, which means the same thing. But I think much more, too. But There was no other way for God to save us. Jesus had to go to that cross. And in Matthew 27, 41 and 42, it says, this is Jesus was on the cross, and it says, likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved him others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. See, he couldn't come down from that cross. I mean, he could have, but he couldn't. To save us, he couldn't save himself. And he had to die. He died for all mankind. And he had to stay on that cross. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And also in John 12:24, it says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That was the only way. The only way to bring sons of God to glory. I know a lot of you guys that go to the men's dinners and the prayer meetings, you think, oh, Dean only talks about 10 minutes. So I think I might have got 11 or 12 out of this. So. But I was praying about it, and you know, it's the Lord's time, and it's the Lord's. It doesn't matter on the length. I always want to keep it simple, and maybe not give you too much to think about, because even in this, there's a lot to think about. I think about those two verses. Ty's been teaching in Sunday school for quite a while. There's a lot in there. Okay, well, because of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, we have that mediator, our intercessor. And Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that cometh to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And salvation didn't end at the cross. That's only the beginning. He not only saved us from our sins, he's saving us every day. Our pastor did a sweet sermon on how God saves us and brings us to things so he can save us. And the Lord dealt with my heart that morning, and I did testify that, you know, he's not only saving us from things, but he's saving us too. And we'll get to that in a minute. Romans 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. I think of sweet Esther. I mean, she had the sentence of death on her. If she went before that king and he didn't extend that scepter of grace to her, but what did he do? He offered it all to her. And we're going to go to Hebrews 12, 2. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what is that joy? Well, there's rejoicing among angels for every one that gets saved. that there's a special joy that Jesus had. And we'll go to, I think you might know where I'm going. Revelation 19:7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And I like that, the marriage of the Lamb. I think of that little lamb crouching at the door. The one that I'd stepped over, maybe even kicked out of the way once or twice. But the lamb was just sitting there waiting. That lamb that went to the cross for me, for you. That lamb that became a worm, writhing there in pain and the blood pouring down. But one day, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And I want to marry that lamb. I hope it's been a blessing. I would also like, as we dismiss, to offer the invitation if anybody needs prayer. I'd like to pray for you. And doesn't just need to be touching body, it can be anything. You don't even have to tell me, you just need to come up and say, "I need prayer." But we'll go ahead and stand, and if anybody does need prayer, come on down. That's something we do at the men's dinner all the time, and we've seen people healed. David Cole, would you dismiss us?